When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend. And join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, and today we have a special program on our fight for religious liberty. I'm honored to have with me Kelly Shackelford. He's the president and CEO of First Liberty Institute. Kelly's a powerful voice and a defender of religious freedom in this country. He has argued cases successfully before the U.S. Supreme Court, and he leads a brilliant legal team down there in their offices in Dallas, Texas. Hey, and that's where we are today. We're in Dallas at the beautiful Hilton Anatole Hotel, where we have been holding our AACC Mega National Christian Counseling Conference this week. We've entitled this year's conference, Stand Strong. And that's what we plan to do for you and your family. By the way, Kelly stands strong. There's a lot to cover, so let's dive in. Kelly, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love doing it, Tim.
Kelly, you lead the First Liberty Institute, and a lot of people are just becoming really aware of what God's doing in and through that organization. Just give us some of the backdrop and how God has really been moving in and through your team.
Well, I'll go back a little further than you're probably asking. I was just thinking this morning, how did you get started in this whole thing? And that goes back to I was a kid with a single mom that knew my gifts were in analytical thinking and speaking. And I thought, I either need to be a pastor or a lawyer. And you know, people said, is that like a God or Satan choice, like a pastor or a lawyer? And a youth pastor came to me and said, if you're called to be a minister, it's a wonderful thing. But I will say this. I know a lot of great Christian pastors. We sure could use some more Christian lawyers. And as I analyzed my DNA, I realized I'd probably do better at dispensing justice than mercy, so I'd probably make a better lawyer. And we started this thing that God just totally started. It's just me. and an assistant. And here we are, you know, 35 years later. I never dreamed we'd have even one Supreme Court case. But now we're 9-0 at the Supreme Court. We've won four.
That's unheard of, yeah, by the way.
Four major Supreme Court victories in the last 2 years alone. I remember sitting in law school thinking, this case is so wrong and it's so horrible for religious freedom, but it'll never change in my lifetime, probably. I was just a part of overruling that case. I mean, the stuff that God is doing right now are things that I didn't think was possible. And, you know, it's kind of one of those weird things to say because people don't know. But every American alive right now has more religious freedom than they've ever had in their lifetime.
That's such a beautiful thing. I mean, and say that again, because I want to make sure people are encouraged by it.
Every American alive right now, because of all these recent precedents,
Coach Kennedy, the Dobbs case, all kinds of things that are happening.
Yes, every American has more religious freedom than they've ever had in their lifetime. The most don't know it. They don't understand the freedom. They've been trained for 50 years. You can't do this. You don't have this protection. You can't do this. And it all changed. But they weren't in the courtroom at the Supreme Court. You know, they probably don't read Supreme Court opinions. So they're not aware. So it's slowly becoming understood. But I think as it does, it's going to change our country. I mean, just take a loan. You know, we used to go to the high school football games. And after the game, you didn't see people coming together to pray. Right? You might at a pro game see a few guys get together. If you watch high school football games now, you'll see it a lot of places. Coaches, players, both teams coming together. Why? Because they can't be stopped now.
Yeah. And so, Kelly, they're even doing it before the game. Yeah. I mean, they're running out on the field and everybody's headed to the end zone and they're kneeling in the end zone. They're praying before, after, and probably a whole lot of prayer during the game.
And nativity scenes. Take nativity scenes. I mean, you know, we used to have a long time ago nativity scenes, but until they were banned. Well, yeah. Most people don't know it's okay now. Yeah. So what's going to happen is one community is going to put up a nativity scene. And the other community is going to go, we can do that now? You know, we can put up a menorah at Hanukkah? We can, yes, you can. Everything's changed. And I think, you know, people, we kind of short sell symbols. I mean, symbols are powerful. Like God had remembrances. And I mean, they're often more powerful than words. Then, you know, I mean, they bring a lot of power in one thing. The idea that crosses come back up, that nativity scenes come back up, that even, you know, for other faiths, menorahs come back up. It begins to remind us that we are a religious people with a religious heritage, and we have values that we, you know, follow and keep us together as a country. When you pull those out, as we did, they get replaced by secular values that are not so good. And this is why we're seeing the darkness. Think of what happens as communities start to take back their community with faith as part of their community. This, I mean, it literally could lead to a revival when this starts happening across the country as people begin to realize the religious freedoms they now have.
If you can keep it.
Yes.
And I think that's the real key here. When momentum begins, by the way, it's always great to have momentum.
Yes.
Stay with the momentum. In other words, let's stay the course here. This is a moment, an important moment, and this is the time for the church to rise up and to be strong. Yes. And by the way, to gather around, come around organizations like First Liberty. As you look at the landscape out there, people of faith, they say about 80% of people around the world have faith in whatever, but they're religious. Mm-hmm. They want that religious freedom. You have often said that religious freedom is the first freedom.
Right.
Talk to us about that and how our founders saw that and how it wires into the DNA of our country.
I think most people of faith, if you ask them why is it important, they will say, well, it's important because I want to be able to live out my faith. That's a really small view of what the founders understood was a much bigger thing. Religious freedom is our first freedom because if you lose that freedom, you'll lose all your freedoms. You'll lose your free speech. You'll lose your political freedom. You'll lose your economic freedom. And the reason that, you know, people don't understand that is because they're not paying attention. Take COVID, okay? In COVID, governors, county commissioners, mayors got this power they had never had before during COVID.
Yeah.
What was the legal flashpoint? When you consolidated all that power, what was the legal flashpoint? It wasn't cases in court over whether businesses could open. It was churches and synagogues.
Boy, it sure was.
And everywhere.
It was a firestorm.
And we won every COVID case we filed in the country. And everywhere we won, within about 2 weeks, the businesses were opened. It wasn't that the businesses were open and then the churches were open. And the best, and I've got it. There's a lot of people that support First Liberty. I'm thinking of a guy right now, Peter, who walked up to me after an event and said, "I'm not religious, but I grew up in Czechoslovakia. I saw this happen. They took down the religious symbols, and 2 months later, we all lost our political freedoms." Handed me a check for $5,000. He said, "I'm going to be supporting you from now on."
Amen.
He just understands that if religious freedom goes, everything else goes. And the reason for this that I would explain to people is the one thing that a totalitarian regime will never allow are citizens who hold an allegiance to one higher than the government. So whenever that type of oppressive government comes in, the first fight is these people that won't bow a knee to government. And if you lose there, you'll lose everything else.
I saw a statement by Sam Brownback from the great state of Kansas, big religious freedom guy.
Yeah.
He said this. He said that religion is the last institution to stand up against tyranny.
Yes.
And Kelly, take us into our culture, because while we're celebrating these wins and God's doing a marvelous work, there are a lot of people on the outside in everyday bedroom communities who are filled with fear because they see what they see as an encroachment.
Yes.
It feels like the government is just rushing to hammer them and to take them out. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this push toward Christian nationalism, you know what I mean, and just broad brushing everybody and,
yeah.
Trying to put people in this pigeonhole thing, like you're bad people, almost like
right.
domestic terrorists or whatever. But how do you reflect on that, and how serious is it?
Yeah, I would say while this great thing is going on, that God is moving in a way to provide protections for religious freedom that we've never seen, it's probably because we're going to need it. The enemy is going places we've never seen. Like if I had to take, we had 360 cases last year. And if I look at the cases, there are two areas where I think they're sort of new, and we're going to establish what the law is on this in the next probably 5 or 6 years. One is we have a whole swath of cases now of pastors and churches being criminally prosecuted,
yeah.
criminally, for basically doing what pastors and churches do. What we call it is criminalizing compassion. So you try to feed somebody. Well, no, that's a crime.
Kelly, I want to be honest. It doesn't even make sense to me.
No.
Why are they coming after pastors about feeding somebody?
It's unbelievable.
Homeless people.
Homeless people that they let in on out of the
Addicts,
cold.
Addicts. People like that.
It's what's happening.
And they're trying to put these pastors in jail.
We've got one of our pastors has 18 criminal charges against him because he would not lock the doors of his church at night in Ohio in February. And when there are people freezing on the streets outside his church, he said, "Jesus doesn't lock the doors of his church." And for that, 18 criminal charges. So this is the kind of thing that's going on. I think we're going to win, but there's this deal that we're God. We, the government, are God, not you. We'll tell you when you can feed people. We'll tell you when you can take people off the streets. And they say, "No, you won't. You're not going to tell me anything. Jesus is the one I take my orders from." So it's a great example of that, right? The other institution that really is a protection versus tyranny is parents and families,
yeah.
right? And so the other huge issue blowing up around the country is parental rights. Who has the authority over children?
Yes,
is it the
it's
government?
Like the government wants to encroach and, by the way, give, quote, kids and say some professional who they go talk to the right to go do something behind the backs of parents, like
yes.
get sex changed operations, what have you, without telling parents.
Yes. We've got
encroachment of parental rights is unbelievable.
It is. We had a horrible case that it was already over by the time we got to it, but we filed this in the Supreme Court to help them understand parental rights in another case. It was a woman whose daughter was having serious problems with depression. And so the mother told the school and said, "Let's get some help in the process. I just want you to know." The school began to wean her away from the mother, tell her that she needed to start taking hormones, and she commits suicide. Because kids need their parents. They need their loving parents. It's outrageous.
God we've got a case it that way.
We've got a case right now where it's in California. It's in federal court. An elementary school ordered all the fifth graders to read a book to the kindergartners. That was part of their assignment. They each had to read a book to a kindergartner that asked them to question their gender. One of the kids was
putting
like
thoughts in their mind.
Yeah, and one of the kids was like, "I got
a real problem
with this."
Shouldn't even be thinking or talking about this stuff.
Yes, goes home, talks to his parents, says, "I can't. I mean, I can't do this. This violates what I believe, what I think the Lord would want me to do." So they go to the school and they say, "Our child, this would violate his faith. He can't. We need a religious exemption." They said, "We're not given religious exemptions." This is the case. So they think they are the parent.
Yeah.
They think they have authority. Well, you know what? This goes way back. We've got cases 100 years old. Children are not children of the state in this country. They're children of the parents. You know, and this is huge because these intermediary institutions between the citizen and the government, like the church and like the family, are what keeps tyranny away. And so that's why we're seeing attacks on the church, attacks on parents. And we're gonna establish this in the next five, six years.
It's very intense, this whole issue. We had Samuel Rodriguez speak on our opening night of our mega national conference that you're speaking at. And he really brought this up, and he was like in a place that was unbelievable. The crowd was electric. And he got to this place on parental rights, and he just started going, "Get your hands off our children." You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this place exploded. It was like, this is so tense. But it comes back, Kelly, to, I think, the big issue as we move into the election and more. It's like, our rights don't come from government.
No.
Our rights come from God.
Yes.
And that is a stark contrast. And until you understand that, you're right. If we go down this dark path of government control and regulation, you're right. They will take away everything. And they will brand you as the bad person in this whole thing.
Sure.
You're the one coming against the government. You have to be suppressed, controlled, probably thrown in prison. And we're seeing this in other countries. It's hard to believe.
Yes.
People in Canada or Australia or wherever, Kelly, being locked up just because they have sincerely held religious beliefs.
Yes. I mean, for instance, our clients in California, where you've got, you know, the fifth graders and all, I mean, they're being persecuted right now, as probably not going to surprise people. So I would encourage people, number one, pray for these families that are fighting. They're fighting not just for them, they're fighting for everybody. And we're going to establish this. Now, it's going to depend upon what kind of judges are we going to have by the time this thing gets up the court system.
Wow.
And this is the battle. And so people don't think about that when they think about voting for president or Senate, you know, but those are the people who pick who your justices are, who your judges are. And look, there are people right now, the extreme left, that wants to get rid of the Supreme Court. They're angry about the Roe v. Wade reversal. They're angry about a couple of decisions. And so what they've asked for is they've got bills they're filing to pack the court, which is where you add 5 or 10 or 15 justices. And people in America think, oh, you can't do that. That you'd have to like do a constitutional amendment. No, it's not in the Constitution how many justices you have. So literally, with just
you
a majority
vote. You can do court
vote,
stacking
if you
or
have,
court elimination
if
or
you
whatever.
Have one party controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency, with a majority vote, boom, they can add 5, 10 justices. And that's exactly what's going to happen if that does happen. I mean, if you watch the bills being filed, if you watch what's being discussed in all the articles. So one of the things we're doing in addition to all the cases is we're doing a major education effort right now just on the court, on the history of what happens when you do court packing. Venezuela did it. That's how they lost their country. You know, there's been 25,000 decisions since they packed their court involving the government. The government has won every single one of them. Not surprising. Your country's over because, for instance, we have 3 branches. If you pack the court, one of those branches, the judicial, is now collapsing underneath the political branch.
Right.
Because you don't have rights. You might think you have constitutional rights, but whatever right you think you have, they can just add as many justices as they want until they take it away. So this is a country ender. And this could happen to us in 4 months. I mean, and Americans aren't aware. That's why they
need... That's how serious this is. It's breathtaking, really.
It is. And now the other side is, if instead you stop that, which we're going to do everything in our power to do, we could have... I mean, we've had a really good move towards good justices and good judges who actually think their job is to interpret the original meaning of the text, not a living, breathing constitution. And as that's happened, that's what's caused a lot of these changes that are taking us back to religious freedom, to the founding principles, to free speech, to these things. So we've got two very different futures depending upon, you know, what happens with the court, because so many of the things we care about are really affected by the court and what happens there. And so I would encourage people to really be in prayer to make sure. We've got a website called SupremeCoup.com, where people can go and get info on this. But it also says, contact your candidates for office and ask them, where do you stand on packing the court? Where do you stand on restructuring the Supreme Court? Because this is a major deal that every candidate should have to say where they stand, because we don't want some surprise right after the election because nobody was thinking about
this. Kelly, that website again is?
SupremeCoup.com.
And everybody can go up there. Everybody. Yeah. If you're getting this conversation and you understand how serious this whole issue of religious liberty is, our religious freedoms, you want to go up there and, hey, share the website, share this information, let people know that we're in really the fight of our life here on this very issue. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here with my son, Zach Clinton. Our special guest in studio is Kelly Shackelford. He's the president of First Liberty Institute here in Dallas, Texas. I think it's the leading engine out there right now. All they do is fight for religious liberty, and they're getting the job done. I mean, that's what's so encouraging. It's so fun to have this conversation, but it's serious in nature. Kelly, I want to go back. Our founding fathers, they must have seen this or something, Kelly, to wire in the branches of government the way they did, to have this thing set up. They realized that one day we would probably be facing this all over again. It's hard to believe in our lifetime that we're here and that we're having these conversations, and it's serious. Socialism, Marxism, everything, it's in our face. Hey, if people want to learn more about you, First Liberty, the Supreme Court coup piece, whatever, where can they go?
Easiest thing is just go to, you spell it out, firstliberty.org. We have about 600,000 people who have subscribed. Doesn't cost anything, but every Friday you'll get an email on the key cases and battles. We try to limit it to 4 or 5 so that you can keep up with what's going on, you can pray, and you can share that with other
people. It's pure gold. I'm serious. Kelly, it's amazing what God's doing in and through you. We're going to continue to pray that God would strengthen your voice for such a time as this and put a hedge around you, your family, your entire team, because we know we're in a nightmare. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Kelly, always a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of our entire team, we're going to pray to that end.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for The Center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The Center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call The Center, a place of hope right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for The Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at The Center, a place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.